Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesu Juva. I once served a congregation for 5 years, and during that whole time, I did not have any funerals, not one. Everybody I prayed for got well. True. I was going to buy a white suit and go on TV. But no, the image was not quite right. And what about poor Jesus in our text for today? He'd been out and about doing mighty works such as healing and casting out evil spirits. And now he comes to Nazareth, his hometown. After the reading, he stands up to comment on the text. What does he say? He preaches the good news of the kingdom of God with his usual power and clarity. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Have faith toward God. Be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. For our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and swift to forgive. Now, word had gotten around about Jesus. People everywhere were talking about his strong messages and his strong works of power. In Mark's gospel are recorded 6 exorcisms, 9 healings, and 6 works of power, such as calming the storm. In the preceding chapter, he had cast out legions of demons from the Gerasene demoniac, and he brought Jairus' daughter back to life, one of only 3 instances where he raised the dead. What does this all add up to? These mighty works were things that could only be done by the power of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. They proved without a doubt that Jesus of Nazareth was exactly who he said he was, the only begotten Son of God, come into this world to save sinners like you and like me. In each of these mighty works, he was reconquering and reclaiming territory that had been stolen and usurped by the devil. Jesus heals the sick. It is gospel for the body. He casts out demons. It is gospel for the soul. Now, in our preaching, we mainly focus on Christ's passive righteousness, and rightly so, his suffering, his humiliation, his death, his burial, those blessed things that paid the ransom price for our sins. But here is his positive role, perfectly obeying God's law for you. He is doing what you cannot do. Here is Christ, the warrior king, though hidden, as it were, Deus absconditus. He conquers in these little ways to demonstrate that one day he will return to this planet to reconquer all of the devil's stolen property. But his own people rejected him. What about you? How do you handle it when you're out there in the parish and get rejected? Yes, you lay up treasure in heaven as you come to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. On the other hand, well, this year is the 40th anniversary of my class. We'll get together in October, drink some beer, and tell lies about what great preachers and pastors we all were. But one classmate of mine was having conflict with his congregation. This one particular family had ruled that congregation for decades. And this pastor came along and tried to do things a little differently, the Jesus way. One night, this pastor classmate of mine was in the church basement after a contentious meeting. He was turning out the lights, and all of a sudden all the lights went off. And somebody threw a blanket over top of him, and a group of men beat the crap out of him, the pastor and the people of his own church. There are congregations out there that chew up their pastors and spit them out, leaving a traumatized pastor and a disillusioned wife and family. So here Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. They were offended by him. God was offensive. What does Jesus do? Same thing he tells the disciples to do. Shake the dust off your feet and keep going. It says he went about the villages teaching. Go, missions and outreach. Teach. Maintain a solid basis of dogmatic theology, which you're getting here. Jesus demonstrates in his own person the Great Commission, and he is still going and teaching today through you. It says he called the 12. Here Jesus calls directly. You will soon be called by the same Christ, although through the agency of the church. He is still the Christ, and it is still the same divine call, whether to the 12 or to you. It says he sent them out. You too will be sent. Have no doubt that the Holy Spirit is working through the call process, even though you might be sent to Podunk, Idaho. It says he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Do they have a course in exorcism here? Or miracle working? Or healing? Listen. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. Now it's your turn to go and do as Jesus and the disciples did. Now some of you will be sent by Christ into the foreign mission field. Asia, Africa, Latin America, where demonic activity is rampant. Most of you will be sent by Christ to congregations in America, where demonic activity is also rampant. Widespread drug use, heroin in the high schools, legalized marijuana. I wonder how many of you are stoned right now. It's here. And pastors are not exempt. Witchcraft is part of the drug culture. Breakdown of families, abortion, racial violence, persecution of the church, and on and on. Expect to be challenged by Satan as part of your vocation as pastor. And don't forget, Satan will come after you personally with everything he's got. You're his worst enemy. You are snatching his prey from between his teeth. I hope to God none of you will be lost, though I know some will. One Lutheran pastor I know is facing 5 years minimum sentence and probably a lot more in a federal penitentiary for distribution of child pornography. Demand of yourself to submit to the discipline of private confession and absolution. Find a father confessor. Blab it all out. It'll do you good. And be shriven. And rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that is yours in Christ. You're only a man. You'll only live a few years on this earth. Time is short. There's a limit to how many sins you can commit. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It's as vast and deep as the ocean. Now, in this passage, Jesus' disciples were ordinary men like you. Yet when Jesus sent them out, they did the mighty works that Jesus was unable to do in Nazareth. See, Jesus does what we're unable to do, but now the disciples do what Jesus was unable to do. How about that? They proclaim the gospel that people should repent. This is short for the whole proclamation of the love of God for poor sinners through the sinless death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And this above all, never forget that the power of God is unleashed in the sacrament of holy baptism, the missionary sacrament. In the old formula, it included a minor exorcism. Today we say, do you renounce the devil? It's a vestige of it. The Apostle James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We who are baptized have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We die with Christ and rise to newness of life. Every time you baptize someone, you are doing a mighty work by the power of God, same as Jesus, same as the 12. The same Christ who gave authority to his disciples have given that same authority to you. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is hidden, but he is here. He is with you to the end of the age. He will empower you against the rulers, the cosmic powers of this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. For his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.